John and I had black hair when we first met, so it's been a long time ago. We thank the Lord for them. Thank the Lord for you that have come out tonight. We don't take your presence here lightly, and we appreciate the pastor and his wife and Stormy and Sean taking us out to eat tonight and providing that for us. We thank the Lord for it. I would remind you, if you're interested in it, we do have that study website and YouTube broadcast, probably about 300 live stream videos between the two of them. We do have a blog there, Musing from the Motel. We're going through the book of Matthew, a few verses at the time. All of that material's on there. It's free. You don't have to give me any credit for it. I probably stole it from somebody else anyway, so I don't know that I've ever had a first-time thought, but if any of that material you can use. I've got some bookmarks with the addresses on it if you're interested. We'll be in Song of Solomon chapter 3 tonight. We began here yesterday looking at this story of a earthly king who set aside his crown, robed himself in a shepherd's garb, and went looking and wooing a Gentile pagan slave Shunammite girl into marrying him. It so much sounds like what Jesus did. Laid aside his crown and robed himself in flesh and come a looking for pagan Gentile people like you and I. Amen. Make them a part of his bride. We have looked at this book under the theme of a little phrase that appears in one of old William Cowper's, the manic depressant member down there at John Newton's church. There is a fountain filled with blood. The little phrase led me to study this book. Redeeming love hath been my theme and shall be till I die. And so it is in these days. It is my thrust. It is my prayer for myself. And I'm praying it for you. I hope it gets answered. Lord, teach me how to love you like you love me. And on yesterday, we looked in chapter 1 at wonderful love, that giddy love, that love we first had in the courtship where we thought that the two of us was the only people in the world. And we learned yesterday morning how to throw kisses. She makes the statement there in chapter 1, let him kiss me, let him plant one right there. And certainly he wants to be closer to us than we want to be to him. Then last evening we looked in chapter 2 at wavering love. Her love, as well as ours, often wavers. We have ups and downs. And she shared some thoughts with us last night that would curtail wavering love. She talked a lot about hanging around the table where he's a sit is a good place to curtail our love. Tonight I want to go into chapter number 3. And I want us to look tonight at wedding love. Wedding love is the highest form of love. It is the redeemed's anticipation of becoming one with Christ. I think the preacher mentioned a contemporary song tonight. It is in my notes. The contemporary songwriter said, I can only imagine. Will I dance with Jesus? Or will I praise his name? Or will I even be able to speak a word? I can only imagine what it'll be like to marry Jesus. I notice in the text in chapter 3, verse 1, By night on my bed I sought for him whom my soul loveth. Seems like this shepherd has wooed her into marrying him. But now he's left her. He's gone. Sort of like we are tonight. He's wooed us into loving him, and where is he at? Is he ever gonna come? Said he was. Been saying it for thousands of years. He's coming. And so that's where we find her tonight, in this wedding love. As we begin to unpack the text tonight of chapter 3, I notice the forming of the marriage. I don't know if you'll agree with this statement I'm going to make tonight. It's no problem. If you want to be wrong, you can. But I believe tonight, this very moment, heaven is in wedding mode. They're ecstatic over there, because they know there's soon going to be a wedding. And they are in wedding mode. Notice, if you would, the bridegroom. That's him. You and I are the bride. The bridegroom's anticipation. It says in chapter 3 and verse number 11, "Go forth, O you daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal." That little word, espousal, includes the courtship from beginning, when he saved your soul, to the end, when he shall consummate your salvation by marrying you. It's the day of his espousal. But I notice the text says, in the day. Very interesting that he would mark it the day. It speaks actually of the wedding day. He says this day in verse 11 is a day of gladness in his heart. Did you know tonight that Jesus is beside himself about marrying you? He's just getting plumb giddy, thinking with anticipation that you're going to come there and be one with him. The day is a day of gladness. Matter of fact, long time ago, when he was hanging upon a cross, Isaiah said that he travailed in birth. He's having a baby on the cross. And Isaiah said, after he had travailed, said that he saw his seed. In other words, he saw his baby. He saw his family. He saw his bride. And he said he was satisfied. He says over in Hebrews that you and I, while he was hanging on the cross, we were the joy that was set before him. Was he thinking about everybody? God forbid! No! No! When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He's thinking about me. I don't know if he's thinking about you or not. I ain't going out on that limb. But I do know he's thinking about me. He said I was the joy that was set before him this day of his espousal. Matter of fact, Jesus is anticipating our arrival over there more than we are our departure from him. When is the last time you got all ecstatic and giddy about leaving here? I never have. Never, never have I ever. Oh, man, I hope it's a day. No! You're getting up a busload, you can leave my seat empty. I'm ready to go. I don't want to go now. I'm enjoying life. I'm not going to lie to you. He wants us to come there more than we want to leave here. But listen to this. Henry Law, the great preacher of yesterday, and some of you will be able to identify with this quote. He says, the bitterest trials and the sorest of pain and sorrows are tokens of God's love. What? Every time your body hurts, God is telling you, I sure do love you. He says they're tokens of God's love. He says he will make life hard here that will long to go there. Are you listening to me tonight? After a while, you're going to beg him to get you out of this body. Can't take it no more. I want to go there more than I want to stay here. So remember this. On the other side where he is, that's exactly the way he is tonight. He just cannot wait till the day he comes to get you and take you home. It was the bridegroom's anticipation. When I think about that, I want to cry out, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Lord, teach me how to love you like you love me. But I notice not only the bridegroom's anticipation, I notice the bride's allurement. The bride's allurement. It says in verse 7 of chapter 3, behold his bed, which is Solomon's. I would remind you tonight that in this text, she does not know him as a king. No idea that he's a king. All she knows is that he's a shepherd. And here, verse 7, he sends for her. Behold his bed. Was interested in that little word bed. It's a little Hebrew word for the royal coach or royal car to bear one to a wedding. Wow. He has sent the car for her, but she ain't looking for him. She's looking for a shepherd lover. I did not know if you noted or not, but USA, when we fly in space, we are called astronauts. When they do it in Russia, they're called cosmonauts. When we do it, we shall be called wasnauts. I wonder just how far it is from here to his house. Enoch said, hey Enoch, how far is it from here to God's house? He said, it's just a short walk. Maybe we'd asked Elijah tonight, Elijah, how far is it from here to God's house? He said, oh, it's just a short chariot. Maybe we'd ask Jacob tonight, Jacob, how far is it from here to his house? He said, oh, it's just a short climb up a ladder. Maybe we'd ask old Stephen how far it was. He said, oh, gracious. He said, it's just a stone's throw from here. Hey, thief on the cross, how far is it from here to his house? He said, you can be there for I love the hound out of that, aren't you? How far is it for you and I cost, it's just twinkling of an eye. Southern Bell years ago, when they used to be in operation, they did a study on the blink of an eye. They calculated it to be 1/1,000th of a second. Take a second, cut it into 1,000,000 pieces, and take you one of them. That's how long it'll take you to go from here to the other side of the universe where he lives. Oh, I think about that. I say tonight, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. But it seems like from the text, she is not interested in getting on this carriage. She's looking for a shepherd lover, not some king. You don't know him as a king. The Bible says, behold his bed, which is Solomon, 70 valiant men. The valiant of Israel with swords drawn had pulled up in front of her house. They must allure her into this carriage. She don't want to go, it seemed like from the text. They're looking for a shepherd lover. Thought it was interesting that you'd almost think God wrote the Bible, that Solomon would send 30 soldiers down there. 30 is the number of redemption. He has come down there to finalize the redemption. So they thought they would allure her into the carriage. So in verse 11, they begin to talk to her about this wedding car. It's amazing to me that this wedding car has 5 components of which it was built. 5 is the number of grace. That is how we got redeemed, wasn't it? By the grace of God. They begin to woo her into this wedding car. They point out to her in verse number 9 that it was made of the wood of Lebanon. It is a wood that is steadfast. No insects, no rot. Reminds me of Christ. He has no guile in him. I heard a preacher preach not so years ago. I felt like standing up and telling him he didn't know what he's talking about. He said Jesus could have sinned, but he didn't. I said he didn't because he couldn't. He had no ability to sin. She smells that Lebanon wood, and she says, I have no doubt that this king is steadfast, but she says, I'm looking for my shepherd lover. They continue to take her around the car, and verse 10 says, made the pillars of silver. Silver is a metal of redemption. It's been in the fire. She says, I know that this king is wealthy and he has silver, but I'm looking for my shepherd lover. Tell her about it being made in the bottom out of gold. Gold is so godlike. She says, I know that he is so rich and wealthy, but I'm not looking for him. I'm looking for my shepherd lover. They point out to her that he has coverings of purple, royalty, and she says, I know that he is royal. I'm not looking for him. I'm looking for shepherd lover. Finally, they open the door to the coach, verse 10, and asked her to at least look inside. While looking inside, verse 10 says she notices that it was paved with love. And before she knew it, she was on board going to the palace to marry somebody that she had no idea that he was a king. She had been looking for a shepherd. I stand amazed tonight in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean, and all I can see is, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Grace greater than all my sin. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. All of grace is my story. You know how I made it. I made it by God's amazing grace. Oh, when I think about His grace tonight and His love that wooed me into a relationship, wooed me out of the dark and into the light, wooed me from death unto life. All I can say is redeeming love has been my theme, shall be till I die. Lord, teach me to love You like You love me. Can I mention from the text tonight the fragrance from this marriage? I notice in the route that they came and the route they're going to take her back. It says in verse number 6, who is this cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke? Notice there is a wilderness fragrance. Smoky. It's hard to see. It is a wilderness situation. This is the route. This is the route that you're going to take to the wedding. Do not think that this is going to be a joy ride. Oh, no. Oh, no, it's going to be a rough road between here and the graveyard. But I hear tell on the other side of the graveyard, they got it paved. Golden streets all the way into the house. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Makes me want to shout. Old verse that Paul shared with us in Philippians 1, verse number 9. It says, not only has He given us the gift to believe, and that's where we stop and always shout, woo, praise the Lord, God gave me the ability to believe. But it's a twofold package. Paul says, not only has He given me the gift to believe, but also to suffer for His sake. So you will, if you have truly believed, you will suffer before you leave this world. It may be a quick one. Oh, He can cause us to suffer a lifetime in a moment. But you will, I will suffer before I see Him. This is the route we'll have to take. Not only do I see a wilderness fragrance, but I see a wonderful fragrance. I notice in chapter 4 that He'll give us that which we need for this wilderness route. He says in verse number 12, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed, a garden that is enclosed. Glad to report tonight, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we are God's garden. He is the husbandman. He is the one that is causing you pain. He is the one that is pruning you. He is the one that is digging around on you. He is the one that either waters you or withholds water. He is the husbandman. A garden enclosed. But don't miss this. This is what will help you and I with the root. He says, and a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. I was interested in that little word, shut up. The little word means the center of the architecture. The center of the architecture. He says, He has put in the center of us. Don't miss this. So good. I hate to even tell you. Probably not going to believe it. A spring shut up. A fountain sealed. That little phrase there is a little word that we get our little word artesian well from. How are we going to make it through this journey? Because it's going to get rough. He says, I have put an artesian well inside of you. while. So every time you get to thinking about the Redeemer, you get to thinking about going over there, this artesian well inside of you start bubbling up. I notice my brother tonight in the choir, I noticed your well was bubbling over. I like it. I was wondering tonight, has your well ever bubbled over? Well, preacher, I'm not emotional. Daddy wasn't emotional. Papa wasn't emotional. Well, why don't you dig them up and all of you get emotional? Because you are an emotional person. Your wife or your husband has heard you scream before. Huh? Artesian well inside of us, a fountain sealed that will bubble over. Says in chapter 4 and verse 7, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. He has declared us tonight by putting this artesian well in us. He has declared us without sin tonight. We're spotless. You mean to tell me, preacher, in your practice you're sinless? God forbid. Just ask that gal sitting down there. She can testify that I am a sinner from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. But positionally tonight, when he looks at me, all he sees is the beloved. That's how come he calls me the beloved. All he sees is Christ. My sins, past, present, and future, they're gone. I tell you what. Of course, I noticed some of y'all when I made that statement, all my sins gone. This was your response. I was pastoring a little church on the University of Georgia campus back in the 70s when God first showed me that in my study that all my sins were gone. I like tore the study apart. How come? I'd been stacking them. Of course, I know why you don't get excited. You ain't never done more than one or two things wrong in your life. Probably wouldn't even be no need of getting excited if those just one or two things are gone. But if you was like me, and you stacking them and still stacking them, and they are gone. Even the ones I'm stacking now, they're gone too. Wow. I have to cry out, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Lord, teach me how to love you like you love me. Could I mention last of all tonight, the fruit in this marriage, this thing of making it through this journey. You know this artesian well to be the Holy Ghost. And this artesian well, the Holy Ghost, wants to produce fruit in us and in our life. And I notice in chapter 4, consideration of spiritual fruit or spiritual filling. It says in chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. He mentions 9 fruits that he had in this garden enclosed. What? 9 fruits in this garden enclosed. Isn't it Paul that told us that there were 9 fruits of the Spirit? You know, if these 9 was to coordinate with those 9, you'd almost think God wrote the Bible. Because, I mean, these are 1,000 years apart when Paul named the 9 fruits and when Solomon. I'm going to run down through them quickly. You do with them what you want. He says in verse 13, the plants are an orchard of pomegranates. That's an aphrodisiac love potion. Isn't one of the fruits that he mentions the fruit of love? Not only do they coincide together, they even coincide in their order of the way Paul mentioned and the way Solomon mentioned. What a God we have tonight. Redeeming love has been my theme. He says with pleasant fruit of campfire. It is a festive fruit that is often used to dye things, different colors, nails, or the hair. Oh, I think about the fruit of joy, festivities tonight. I think of the fruit of spikenard. It was a plant that was boiled and used to relieve stress. It was drank in a tea. Oh, certainly that would identify with the fruit of peace tonight. I notice also he mentions the spikenard and the saffron fruit. It was a plant durable. We use it today. It is involved in our ice that we sprinkle on the sidewalk to melt the ice. Oh, would it not identify with the fruit of long suffering tonight? And then he mentions the calamus fruit. They used it to make canes and musical instruments, to make flutes. I think about that sound of a flute. It's often such a gentle sound, the fruit of gentleness. And then I think of the cinnamon that he mentions here. It was the root of the word means upright in one's walk. It was a fruit that was used, and the bark was used for walking sticks. Think about the fruit of goodness, to walk uprightly in goodness and righteousness before our God. Frankincense is the perfume that is placed upon in a time of sorrow, a time of the last days. So would identify with the fruit of faith. And then the myrrh, it was a lowly stubble plant used in a healing method. Oh, it's so identify with the fruit of meekness. The aloe, an embalming portion. Speaking of death to us, death to ourselves. So identify with the fruit of temperance. Oh, how we need to be tempered in this life. Not let the things of this world catch our attention and get us off guard. You don't want to get upset with what's going on around here while you're on your way to a wedding. Oh no. Are you listening to me tonight? Consideration of spiritual fruit. I notice last of all, there is the cause of spiritual flow. He says in verse 16, her speaking, "Awake, O north wind, come thou south wind, blow upon my garden." I've got the artesian well inside of me, the Holy Ghost. I want these fruits to come out of me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. How am I going to get them to come out of me? She asks, is the north wind to blow? I tell you, around here, you don't want the north to blow down on us. You're talking about cold now. That air come down from Canada, she's going to drop in them single digits like it did last year at New Year's Eve, and stuff will start breaking. She's asking him, send me conflict. Send me conflict. Send me trouble that these fruits might be manifested out of my life. And then she's asked, she said, let that south wind blow on. Oh, I like it when that breeze comes up from Florida. Oh, it's so warm. It's just so soothing. Oh, it is a wind of comfort. He is the God tonight that can blow conflict on your life, or he can blow comfort on your life and produce the fruits of the Holy Ghost tonight. was wondering tonight, where are you at tonight in having all the Holy Ghost you want? I don't know about you. They taught me at Bob Jones, you get all the Holy Ghost you're going to get when you get saved. I'm glad Jesus didn't take that course. It'd have messed him all up, because he didn't believe that. You do know that, don't you? Because he told his disciples this. He says, how much more shall he give the Spirit to them that ask for it? So if I can ask for some more, the only thing I can suppose is that I didn't get all of it when I first started. Now, I got a bunch, and I have been overwhelmed with what I got. But he says, you ain't seen A yet as to what I could give you if you'd ask me. But I would tell you this tonight. This wedding, they're in wedding mode tonight. I don't know when they're going to finalize that and finalize the invitations and come get us in the royal wedding car. But it could be soon. But until then, it's going to be a rough road. And you're going to need all of the Holy Ghost you can possibly get. That's why this old song so speaks to my heart again tonight. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. My stubborn will subdue. Teach me in words of living faith what Christ would have me do. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Fill me with power divine. Kindle a flame of love within me, within this heart of mine. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me till I am all thine own, until my will is lost in thine, to live for thee alone. Breathe on me, oh Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Oh Holy Spirit, breathe on me. If you're confident tonight that there is going to be a wedding, you have been invited. You have sent your RSVP ahead of time, tell him you are on your way. You're ready anytime he comes for you. Realize that the road is rough. I wonder tonight if you'd be honest with yourself, preacher. I'm afraid. I don't have enough of the Holy Ghost for the trip. I just don't know how rough it's going to get. And if it gets pretty rough, preacher, I'm going to need some more Holy Ghost. You got any idea, preacher, how I can get some? Yep. You probably have to have an earned doctor's degree in theology to get this, but I'm going to give it to you for free. Jesus said, just asked him for some more. He said he's got plenty. We're standing tonight. Our heads are bowed. Sister's coming around to play on the instrument a little bit. I don't know what God's got for us in this altar tonight. But maybe you'd be honest with yourself. Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm headed to that wedding. I'm anticipating it. I'd be honest with you, preacher. I'm not wanting to go there as much as he wants me to come there. Preacher, I'm beginning to see that this road could get rough quick. I'll be honest, preacher, I don't know that I've got enough Holy Ghost for the trip. Maybe you want to root you a place in this altar tonight and ask God to conquer your old stubborn will. Put that flame of love in you, as the songwriter said. Let you get lost in Him. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take now my heart, cleanse every part. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. While she plays, God's speaking. God a wooing you. Come get you a place in this altar. said, Lord, I don't know how much Holy Ghost I'm going to need for this trip. I don't know how rough it's going to get. I know there's a wedding a-coming. We're going to go through the wilderness. Going to be smoky. Be hard to see. I'm going to need all I can get. I want to bear that fruit in my troubles. I want the world to see that fruit coming out of me. Need to come tonight, you come. Could it possibly be someone here tonight lost? Don't know anything about an artesian well inside of you. Maybe you want to bow to him tonight and beg him to save your soul. I will wait while she plays. The altar's open. Thankful tonight that the majority of you, your testimony is you got all the Holy Ghost you need. I'd be a fool if I thought that was true. Sir, ma'am, you have no idea how much Holy Ghost you might need between here and the house. Maybe you want to slip up the side of him, scrooge up the side of him. Say, Lord, I'm going to need more of your spirit. If I'm going to produce this fruit, when all around my soul's given way, when I'm fighting hell by the acre, that the world would see that the Holy Ghost is living in me. I'm going to have more of him. Need to come, you come.